Hey everyone, welcome to episode fill in the blank, because we're making this up as we go along. Tommy apparently is an extra time zone over, and so he's like an hour late, but it's not his fault because he's Tommy.
UPS, they're always late.
It's UPS's fault. Wait, doesn't he work for FedEx? No, it does. No. So anyway, we're killing time, and this is going to be very much off the cuff because that's what we do. And as you can hear, Trevor's playing with a shotgun.
Episode shotgun.
Ooh, I like it. Welcome to Slamfire, episode shotgun.
Hold on, I got to go get another one. Keep this rolling.
So, I'm going to keep this going while you put your headset down and walk out of the room and go get another shotgun. So I'm just going to sit here and blather on, seriously. Lame. So, let me tell you a joke. I can't think of any jokes. All right, Trevor's back.
I am.
That was close. I almost had to edit there for a minute, but then I didn't.
Cool. All right.
So we're going to do a compare and contrast. Trevor calls me up. He's like, dude. And I'm like, what? And he's like, I can't figure out which shotgun I like. So I started asking him questions, and he's like, we should record this. So we're recording it.
All right. So start over then.
All right. Hey, man. What's going on?
Oh, not that far back.
Oh, not that far back.
First of all, let's tell the listeners, for those who maybe are unaware which two shotguns we're talking about here.
Oh, right. You want to fill them in.
I have a Remington 870 Express Magnum, and it's chambered in 3-inch. Yeah, it's 2 3/4 or 3-inch. And we'll get more into what I've done to it since its original acquisition. The other shotgun in question this evening is a Mossberg 590 A1, and it's 12 gauge as well, and also 2 3/4 or 3-inch.
So here's the thing. The Canadian military uses the 870, and the American military uses the 590 A1. So Trevor, you American, you Canadian.
I got me two shotguns.
I was like, pew, 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 America.
America. Yeah, so
right. We're kidding. We're not really American. So all of you American listeners who are like cursing the speakers right now, we're just kidding around, guys. We love you.
Them French guys ain't no Americans.
Can't even say America right.
That's right, America.
So Trevor, tell me about the 870 and why you like it.
All right. Well, I'm gonna go a little farther back than you'd like me to.
That doesn't sound like you at all.
I know. This 870 was acquired from a neighbor and was originally Woodstock, wood forend.
Was it Woodstock, New Brunswick or Woodstock, Ontario?
You're doing it here too. Wow, that's funny. And it had a vent rib 28-inch barrel with interchangeable chokes.
Which is a perfect tactical shotgun for, you know, close-quarter combat and room-to-room clearing.
Absolutely.
You can just poke the guy in the eye and go, ha-ha.
I don't think I'm ever going to part with it because I've put so much money into it over the years, and I'm still not where I need to be because I keep buying the wrong things and swapping it out, etc. I put the Black Hawk Spec Ops reduction pistol grip stock and forend on it.
Yep. And it did help it shoot a little smoother and less recoil. I did notice that. Yep. When shooting slugs, it was a bit more forgiving, I guess.
Yep. And then I put on a +2 extension, and that still didn't give me the capacity I wanted. I didn't know that I could go all the way to 9 rounds in the gun at the time when I bought the +2. Otherwise, I would have bought a +3 right off the bat. Also, I didn't know I could go past my muzzle. So I ended up buying another magazine extension tube for it. And I got to give a shout out to S&J Hardware because I purchased it a year later. I told him I was purchasing another one because I bought the wrong one in the first place, and he offered to exchange it for free.
That is cool.
After having the product for a year, that's very cool.
Yep.
But before I did that, I put on the Remington 18.5-inch police barrel. It's cylinder bore and a little bead sight on the front, and that's it. I also put on a Remington saddle scope mount and put a red dot optic on it. Then I took that off, and I bought the Mesa Tactical one with the six shell.
Why did you take the red dot off?
Because it was a really poor cheek weld.
So you mean chin weld.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was going to get the extended cheek piece that goes onto the Blackhawk stock, and I never did. Instead, right. I ditched the Blackhawk stock and went with the Magpul stock because I short-stroked this shotgun a fair amount, and I was told that one of the possibilities for me short-stroking it is that the recoil reduction system is taking some of the energy out of my stroke. And I may not short stroke it if I had an actual stock and didn't eat up any of the energy, right? So I've been through, I'm on my third stock if you count the original. I'm on my second scope mount for it. The reason I went with the Metsa Tactical is because it has the six shell holder. And what I like about these scope mounts is that you can see underneath them, and that acts as a ghost ring sight or a rear sight. So I like that. That's cool. The features that I like in this shotgun are the trigger on this one is absolutely fantastic, and it's not even the original trigger group. So this trigger group is not as old as a shotgun. The original trigger group went into the Norinco 780 that I had when it blew up. I replaced the trigger group. I ordered a new trigger group for this gun and took the trigger group that was in it and put it in the 780. Now, the interesting thing to note about that was the trigger group that was in this gun was an all-metal trigger group. When I contacted Western Gun Parts out west in Alberta, Great Western Gun Parts, something like that, they carry gun parts for all of the, your common type of hunting guns, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so they sent me out a new trigger group, but it was a plastic one. I didn't even know that Remington had downgraded to using plastic trigger groups, but here we are. And it's absolutely fine. It has a fantastic trigger with a short reset, super smooth. The other thing I like is how smooth the action is. I did do a little bit of polishing work to it, and I do keep it well slipstreamed, so it could account for why it's so
smooth. Yeah, and 40,000 rounds of ammo through it, too, probably helped clean it up.
You know what? In all honesty, I don't know how much was put through it before I got it, but there's probably still less than 1,000 rounds through this gun. You got to shoot a lot of shotgun recreationally to get up over 1,000 rounds. I don't shoot, trap, or skeet with it. How many times do you shoot it when you're in the bush hunting? And I take it out to the range a couple of times a year, and more so now that we're starting to play around with three gun.
Yeah, that's a good point. You're right. It probably doesn't get shot as much as you might think it would.
No, it's not like a pistol in a match where you're going through anywhere from 9 rounds to 32 rounds in a stage. You're gonna and plus practice, right? We don't shoot our shotguns every day like
practice?
We do our pistols.
What's this practice you speak of?
Exactly. So that's the 870. What don't I like about it?
Yeah, what don't you like about the 870 then? Let's just do all the 870 and then go over on the 590.
Sure. Well, and not that it's this particular gun's problem, but I don't like the barrel I bought. I would much rather get the Remington Tactical barrel with the extended choke tube. It's got a better front sight, and I could put some chokes in it. And the reason I would want to put some chokes in it is one particular match I was at, we were shooting buckshot at paper, a Nipsic paper target, and the best 5 pellets scored. Okay, so if you had 9 pellets in your buckshot and all 9 hit, they counted the best 5. So if they were all in the alpha, you got 5 alpha for that one target. All right. Well, we were shooting up to 25 yards, and on one particular target, I only had 2 pellets hit. So cylinder bore was not happening with buckshot very, very much past 10 for me to get any decent hits. So, if I could put in a modified or something, I don't really know what I'm talking about when it comes to shotgun chokes like
you.
No,
you're right. You want to put in a modified or a full, and it'll really keep your buckshot tighter, that's for sure.
Yep. You go to a match, and you look at the stage, and you realize you got some far shots, swap out your choke. You got time to do that sort of thing, right? So that's, but as far as the design goes, I don't like the feeding port. It's very narrow. It's got that lifter in there that you've got to push down every time. It's spring loaded, and it's been known to knock the occasional shell out of my hand onto the ground. I also don't like where the safety is. When your hand is on the Magpul grip, your finger resting on the trigger guard is right where the safety would be if this was a Winchester, at the front of the trigger guard.
Yep.
But as it is, it's in the back. So you're starting with your finger cocked in a funny position on the safety, and it looks very obvious that your finger's on the safety waiting for the buzzer to go. So ergonomically, it's kind of poor design. Then the bolt, or not the bolt release, but the slide release, or the pump release, is in front of the trigger guard even more, and you actually have to take your hand off the fire controls to get up there. You actually slide your hand all the way up over the trigger guard to disengage it to open up the action. Poor design.
Yep. I concur. And I never did like the design of the pump release on the 870s.
Controls are not ergonomic.
Nope, not at all. Not at all for humans, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. And finally, it's not a what's the term? Speed pump?
Speed pump. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you have to be onto the pump and then off the pump to open it up. Yeah. So. It's almost where I want it. I want to replace the Blackhawk foregrip with the Magpul foregrip to make them match.
Yeah, and swap the barrel out. Put the chokes in, and then you'd be just about set. You just have to learn how to run the manual of arms, which you already know how. You just, unfortunately, got to break your grip in order to open the pump. But how often do you have to actually do that?
Yeah, well, exactly. Finding that barrel has been a chore. I did meet the Remington guys at Nationals. The Remington had a trailer there in the vendor's area at the Ipswich Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the gentlemen there gave me the part number. He said, you can order this barrel through any dealer that carries Remington products. Tell them this is the part number you want.
Hmm.
So that's cool. I got to look into that.
Very cool. All right. Well, talk to me about the 590 then. What do you like about the 590?
It's lightweight.
Yep.
The pump release is right behind the trigger guard, and you can manipulate it with your middle finger without changing your grip whatsoever. The safety is up on top of the action, so you can manipulate it with your thumb without changing your grip.
It's still not ideal. Nope. I still think in front of the trigger guard is the best spot, but the tang safety is nice because you can toss it to a lefty and they can operate it just as well as a righty can.
Yep, I concur. For sure. You can get extended ones, which might be better for me because turns out I have short thumbs. I was unaware, but it was pointed out to me the other day.
Did you always have a hard time hitchhiking?
Yeah, right.
Could have been why.
I thought it was how I looked, right?
But no, it's your thumb.
Wouldn't see my thumb, yeah.
Yeah, if you can't see your thumb, they're just like, why is he waving his fist at me?
Yeah. So, other things I like, well, the 590 comes with sights. The rear sight on the 590 A1 is adjustable. It's not just a rail screwed into the receiver with a little ghost ring on the back.
Yep.
Also, this receiver is tapped in a couple of different places already. My 870 Express Magnum is not. Now, the Express Magnum is the bottom barrel of the 870s. You go
it
up.
It is, and let's also remember that the Express Magnum and the one that you have was actually a hunting shotgun, not a tactical shotgun.
That's right.
The 590 A1 is designed from the ground up to be a tactical shotgun, so that's why it has the drills and taps and holes and all that other fun stuff. Bayonet lug, hello.
Yep, it's got needed. A bayonet lug. The magazine tube is one piece. There's no extension on there.
Mm-hmm.
The front sight is a ramped sight painted red in the front. It's a dovetail. You could drift it left or right if you wanted to. There's no need, however, because the rear sight is completely adjustable for windage and elevation.
Yep.
The action is rough.
And that's a function, I believe, of it just not being used very much yet. My Mossberg is not rough at all. And I have the lower end. I have the 500. Like, it's the entry-level Mossberg 500. It's the cheapest one you can get. And it's quite smooth. I really like it. So I think you just need to use it more and slipstream it more, and it will probably smooth up.
Yeah. The pump is small in diameter, so it's easy to get your hand around. Mm-hmm. It's very sharp. And when shooting with a bare hand, if you have delicate teacher hands like I do, it starts to, your hands get a little raw if you put enough rounds through it in succession.
Really? That sharp, huh?
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to say that it hurts my hand like Tommy said that his handgun hurt his hand that time after he stippled it. But
right. Well, I mean, he stippled it to the point of it, you know, almost made him bleed. But
yeah,
anyway.
It's true. I shot that gun and it did leave I took sandpaper to my knuckle.
Nice.
Yeah, you couldn't shoot it all day. I mean, I didn't shoot it. I shot it all the first day of Magpul or of Mag 40, and then I would shoot that a little bit, then my 17 a little bit.
Right.
So the actual length of the action kind of feels longer than the 870.
Really?
Yeah, almost as if it was a 3.5-inch Magnum action.
Hmm.
It seems like the action is shorter on the 870, but it could be that the pump or the actual plastic forend mm-hmm. is longer.
Right.
And therefore my hand is closer to the receiver.
Right.
So it's perceived as shorter.
Right.
When in fact it may not be.
Gotcha. Could be. I don't know. The only way to find that it would be to actually measure it, which you could do with a ruler.
The length
ruler.
Of the action, yeah. The trigger group is metal. The receiver is aluminum. And on the 870, the receiver is steel.
That's where you get your weight savings from. That's yep. why the 590 is a bit lighter.
Yep.
Yeah.
The 590, the takedown is more complicated on the 590 than the 870, but when you get used to taking it down, it comes down just as quickly, I'm told. I've only taken it down once, and I had to reference YouTube a couple times to figure it out and then get it back together.
Yeah, for me, I always found the 870 to be challenging and the 590 to be super simple.
Yeah,
like so I can take my 590 or my 590, my 500, and I know the 590 and 500 are very similar inside. I can take my 500 apart and put it back together like you can a Glock. Like it just everything yeah. seems intuitive to me. Then again, I'm more used to it than I am for the 870. So
exactly. So again, then that proves the point that the it's what you get used to, right?
That's right. It's what you're used
some,
to. Yeah.
Yeah. Some guys can. I'm still trying to remember the order of the parts to reassemble my 2011, where the Glock I've once reassembled, disassembled and reassembled two Glocks blindfolded.
Yeah.
I'm a long ways from doing that with the 2011.
The 92011? That's an interesting right. model number.
Yeah. So now the bolt on the 590 has dual extractors.
Mm-hmm.
The 870 only has one extractor.
Right.
Whether it's overkill or not, I don't know. But hey, you know, two is better than one, right?
Now, is this 870 not the one that you used to have problem with extractions with? The shells would come out and then just kind of sit in the chamber. You had to flick them out with your finger?
Yeah, that wasn't extraction. That was injection. So is the ejector bad on the gun? Or is it a function of me just running a shotgun like a little girl?
Right.
I was short stroking it at the range the other day. Yeah. I gave it to Pierre Luc and he ran it. I was like watching you run a shotgun.
Right.
He could whip through it just as fast as you could, so it was kind of nice to see that there's nothing wrong with the gun. I just suck at shotgunning.
Right.
I need more practice with a shotgun. Loading the 590 is easier because there's nothing in the way of the...
I love that feature. Yeah. There's no lifter. Well, there is a lifter, but the lifter is out of the way.
That's right. Yep. Yeah. The port, the loading port is completely open and easy to access.
Yeah, you just drop the shell in and shove it with your thumb. It's like
exactly.
It's beauty.
You can literally do that. You can literally drop the shell into the gun if you're holding the gun upside down.
And then just shove it forward.
Slide it in, yeah.
Yeah.
I see a lot of guys in three gun, they don't roll the shotgun over to load it. They've got four shells in their hand and they're just thumbing them up into the feeding tube.
Yep.
And that's a lot easier to do when you're not pushing against a feeding gate.
That's right.
A lifter, yeah.
Yep.
So the trigger on this one is atrocious.
Yeah.
Just awful.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's awful by all shotgun standards or if it's just awful compared to my 870, but it's compared to my 870, it's awful. So.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Shotguns don't generally, like shotgun makers and manufacturers, don't generally put a whole lot of effort into the trigger because that's unlike a precision rifle and a pistol, the trigger on a shotgun, you're not supposed to press it, you're not supposed to roll it, you're supposed to tap it, you're supposed to hit it. Like you're not, so it's not a precision gun, so you're supposed to hit it, and I don't even know how to explain it best, but it's not nearly as critical having a good trigger on a shotgun as it is on any other gun. So that's probably why you're noticing it's heavier and not nearly as nice. That being said, there's got to be aftermarket triggers for the 590.
I am finding that the availability of aftermarket parts for the 590 in Canada is not as prevalent as they are for the 870. The 870 is kind of like the 1022. It's kind of like the Remington 700.
Yep. Yep, that's true.
Take, for example, the Magpul furniture.
That's right. They're available for the 870, but not for the 500 or 590, because I looked for it for my 500 and couldn't get it.
And did you look in the States to see if they were, and you weren't finding it in stock down there either?
I do not think I found it anywhere in stock downstate, no.
Wow. Well, they're on order with the Calgary Shooting Center, so when they get them, I'm going to have one right off the bat.
Cool.
To put on this, because once you go to a Magpul shotgun stock, you don't go back.
Yeah, they're that nice, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they remind me not to try yours, because I don't want to have to pay more money. But maybe I will. I mean, they're not that expensive, are they? Like $120 or something for the set?
Something you definitely get it to your door for under $150.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that's worth it for a good shotgun stock. Now, that being said, I just ordered a new... I ordered a new pump for my 500 because I broke mine. Mm-hmm. But it cost like $80 to my door.
Wow, yeah, and that's just the front.
And that's just the front. Yeah. So...
Now, did that break because you did some work to the gun, or did it just break?
I've been waiting for that to break ever since I got the gun. The Mossberg 500, like I said, I had the bottom of the barrel one, and it is essentially a Maverick 88. Okay. It just has the Mossberg name on it, and it's made in the United States instead of in Mexico. And it has the same front forend. The pump is actually connected directly to the arms, the pump arms.
Oh, yeah.
Action arms, I guess. And so it's plastic on metal. The traditional way of having a shotgun pump is you have a tube that rides, a metal tube that rides over top of the magazine tube.
Yep.
And then the arms are welded or pinned, so it's metal on metal. The metal arms are pinned to this metal tube, and then you just attach the plastic or wood forend onto that.
Even the Norinco is like that.
Well, Mossberg saved some money by putting the arms directly into the plastic, and like I said, I've been waiting for it to break ever since I got it, and it finally did. So I do have the actual metal pump and arms, which is actually on the gun now, and I actually have a wood forend on it right now just for hunting and stuff until my new one comes in from Fab Defense.
Mm-hmm.
So it's better. Your 590, I'm sure, is made correctly. The 500s, you know, like I said, the 500s are inexpensive, but that part will break eventually. Had nothing to do with me modifying it. That was just, you know, it's a weak spot in the gun.
Right. Yeah, no, I can see that the metal is under there. Yep. So I am still undecided, because what it boils down to,
is a slick action and a good trigger versus ease of running.
Yeah, yeah.
So go with ease of running and break in the gun.
Hmm.
It makes more sense to have a smooth manual of arms than it does to have a smooth action, because shotguns are not finesse guns. They are, you know, ham-fisted. They're not precision tools.
Yep.
Right? Punch through. I don't even know what I'm trying to say, but you're aggressive with them.
Yeah. So those little fine points don't matter.
I don't think so personally.
Yeah. What does matter is how quick I can get that safety turned off and quick I can reload.
Those are the two important things.
Now,
right?
When fitting a shotgun, you rest the butt into your elbow, and then you fold your forearm against the stock, and you place your finger in around the trigger guard.
That's the traditional way of doing it. Yeah, the trigger should be on the first crease of your finger.
All right. Well, in that case,
behind your first knuckle.
The 590 fits me perfectly, and the 870 is still too short.
Yeah.
And I've got all the – when you buy the Magpul stock, it comes with extensions for the butt.
Mm-hmm.
And there's four, and I've got three in there. And when I put
that lengths of pull, that's the name of the measurement from the recoil pad to the trigger. That's for the listeners, Trevor, not for you, because I know you know that. The length of pull in the last 5 years or so has been shortening, like the standard.
Yeah.
I've noticed it has been getting shorter and shorter in rifles and shotguns, at least my experience from what I found so far. And I think, especially tactical stuff, and I think it's because a lot of people are wearing load-bearing gear. And so you have an extra half inch of material between you and your body. And so they're taking that half inch out of the buttstock.
Yep.
So Magpul having a shorter length of pull on their stock, I think that's due to this trend of people running load-bearing equipment.
It's not that they have a shorter length of pull. They've made it modular. They made it adjustable. You determine the length of pull.
I thought you said you had them all in.
No.
I still have more to put in. Okay.
Yeah, I have three of the four in.
Oh, okay. So you can put in the fourth one and bump it out to where you'd be more comfortable with it.
And I believe I will.
Yeah, no, that's what you should do. If you don't run, you know, a vest on, then you should run it, you know, measured correctly for your body, which makes shooting a shotgun way better. I mean, that's the thing with a shotgun. Again, you don't shoot, you don't aim shotguns, you point them.
Yeah.
This whole fad with this ghost ring sights and red dots, red dots are fast. I got to give you that. Red dots are fast, but it's really hard to get a low enough mounted red dot on a shotgun to get a good cheek weld.
Yep.
The fastest, in my limited experience so far, the fastest sighting system for a shotgun, for tactical or even wing shooting, is a fiber optic front bead, and that's it.
And someone said recently that, and I don't know if it's correct or not, so we'll have to look into it, but someone said recently that most of the top shotgun shooters in three gun are shooting nothing but a front bead, or like you said, no
a fiber op front bead. Yeah, I believe that was Chris Babes on Facebook. I think was talking about that with Thomas Donnelly.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I mean that it because you point a shotgun, you're not supposed to aim it, line up the rear sight with the front sight. You're supposed to put the dot on the target, pull the trigger, and then if you have to shoot it again, because well, that's a shotgun. So
yeah, the sighting system on the Mossberg is nice, I tell you. You know, I close my left eye, I bring it up, and they line up, and I just pull the trigger.
Well, that's cool. I mean, ghost ring sights are fast, but I bet you you'll find just a front will be faster.
Yeah.
There's only one way to find out. You got to get out to the range and practice.
We're getting a call from Tommy, so I guess the shotgun episode is over.
The shotgun episode has come to an end. Thank you for listening. I hope you didn't learn anything. And email Trevor, tell him what shotgun you think he should have, and tell him why. Help him make his decision, even though he already just did.
Thanks, guys. Later.
Talk to you guys later.